Blog Talk Radio.
Scott Enster Network.
Talked about last night is quite a buzzword. A lot of people were shocked, a lot of people were surprised, but then a lot of stuff we talk about is bizarre and is strange. And, you know, the spirit realm, those things of supernatural, and as we discussed, that the science behind supernatural is just that. Physics, those things of electromagnetic spectrum, those things that defy physics. You know, I was talking about the different aspects of radio waves, and when I was going through school, I had already had quite an education in RF engineering, RF servicing of very, very large transmitters, transmitters that were so big that you could actually walk into them to repair them. Now, that's big stuff. Now, that's the kind of stuff that HARP would be made of. But instead, this was for industrial applications. And as I was going through that training and through some of the others, like Cleveland Institute, which was an incredible school for back then, probably still is. That was over 30 years ago. I'm kind of getting up there now. But they always define things of science and physics, that things were solid and stable, that was the baseline. Nothing was going to alter, but now, you know, 30 years later, 40 years later, we find that that's not the case. Nanotechnology in itself shows that there's a great variance when you can control, the electrons. Now, we're going to talk about scorpions. We're going to talk about serpents. I didn't put serpent on there because I actually want to separate that, but the two certainly are together, and that they are they're not our friend. I was raised in Arizona. I spent 47 years there, and if you've been listening, I at one time was in law enforcement and was very much involved as a man tracker for search and rescue, and once in a while a bad guy. And what that was is that when somebody was lost, somebody wandered off, somebody was in trouble, in order to find them, especially years ago, helicopters weren't totally available like they are now, and still they're very expensive and not always available. But to find an individual through signing, through clues, through those things left behind because of the trail. When you go through an area, no matter how small you are, petite, light, whatever, you're going to leave some kind of track. You're going to leave some kind of clue we call sign. And the hardest one that I was ever involved with was a 2-year-old. And you'll find, what magazine was that? Reader's Digest. Reader's Digest did a whole thing on a search that I was on where down in the town of Maricopa, it may be, if you even Google it, Maricopa, Arizona, not the county, the child, 2, maybe 3, wandered away. And the child was so light that with the hard-baked clay, you know, because it doesn't rain a lot in Arizona, it really was a job. In fact, we had to bring the dogs in, Utah dogs, and it was the Utah dogs that found the child. The child, after time, which is amazing that the child survived several days. Now, I believe it was in the spring, so the nights weren't getting too cold and the days weren't too hot yet. But, you know, that particular area has a lot of mountainous areas as well, and mountain lions and just javelina, coyotes. So it was really a incredible situation that this child survived several days. Well, you know, in its dehydration and just being, you know, scared, it hid from us. It hid into a tree that had died and kind of imploded on itself. It was like a mesquite or a Palo Verde tree. And without any signs indicating that the child had gone in this direction, it was a needle in a haystack. But because of the dogs, I don't know if it was ground scent or air scent, maybe the combination of the two, found the child. So it had a happy ending. But unfortunately, many of the ones I have been on did not have a happy ending. And one of the things you can, you know, succumb to out of the desert is scorpions, is snakes. We've got sidewinders, diamondbacks. The Mojave is one of the worst ones. Gila monsters aren't so much. They really don't want anything to do with people. But the desert's not a friendly place. It's beautiful, especially after the rain. But, you know, again, it can be very hostile. Now, you wouldn't think this, but also the desert at night can become very cold. And so hypothermia is an issue. You go out in the day with shorts and a T-shirt, and the sun goes down, you get lost. And when you're in the canyons, that temperature just drops like a rock. And you'll find that most people perish from hypothermia. You know, getting too cold, your core temperature drops in the 60-degree range. And especially children, you know, they're so small, they don't have a lot of mass. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm leading up to the vulnerability of humans to the elements, okay? So if you're not prepared, if you're not of age, if you're not of skill, and sometimes, you know, smarts have a lot to do with it, you're not going to do so well. And when we did a search, we did what was referred to as probability. Now, I went through the National Association of Search and Rescue Camp or the Command Post Incident Command classes and got my certificate, and so I was able to do what's called a search function. I was able to operate a search. So I had to learn all the different methods of how to find somebody and the behavior of people. Now, San Bernardino has been in the news lately. San Bernardino is, I understand, not the friendliest place anymore. I lived in Los Angeles for a while, so I was familiar with San Bernardino. And I was familiar with San Bernardino because Maricopa County and San Bernardino County were two counties that are very, very large, very much alike in some ways, and they were friendly to each other because of search and rescue. And there was a lot of information that came out of San Bernardino sheriff's departments. It's normally the sheriffs that are in charge of the search and rescues. And so there were programs put together, meaning that they would run software for probability. So if you were a hunter, you would have a frame of mind of thinking of maybe to go higher because you're used to looking for game and looking down on things and so forth. Where if you were a mild, meek individual and didn't have a lot of strength, your tendency would to do the least, you know, path of resistance, and so you would go downward. Now, if you didn't swim or any other things, then you would be bound to a creek or a river. And so there's all these things that you consider and put in place that enables you to find somebody in a timely manner, hopefully before they expire. Okay? So when us as humans, one of the things that is a, let me just refer to it like software, is the Bible. Okay, the Bible knows us, God knows us. His word has been there from day one. It's a manual for survival, meaning that there are things that we are told not to do, and there are things that if we do them, here are the consequences. Okay? So if you went out into a rattlesnake infested area and you did not have rattlesnake proof boots, there are such a thing, by the way, and so, you know, nighttime is really when they come out. And of course, that's a good time to travel in the desert because it's not hot, but at the same time, if you don't have flashlights and you really don't know where you're going, you can end up walking off a cliff, and that has happened. But at the same time, since rattlesnakes are out most likely, or any of the other venomous snakes, you're probably going to get bit. And when we did search and rescue, it was one of, you know, we went 24 hours a day. We never stopped until we found the person. Because we knew that time was everything. And so snakes were always on our mind. You know, we were beating through the bush and all this other stuff, and we carried this stick with us. We called a drag stick. And some refer to it as a signing stick because we could mark the ground where we were at. And it became an assistant for snakes. We could remove snakes, kill a snake, whatever the deal was. But at the same time, we were also armed. Now, if you think you're going to go through life, if you think you're going to go through what's coming unarmed and you don't have the stick with you, you're terribly mistaken, okay? Because out there in this world are things that want to harm you, okay? Now, let me just get into this here. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. Now, when we come into the book of Luke, and notice Luke wrote this because, remember, he was a doctor. Strange that they do this. 10:19, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Now, this is a statement that tells us that these things in Ephesians 6:12, then in Luke 10:19, we have authority over them. Now, that's like going through the desert armed with a stick and you've got your rattlesnake boots on, because you've got a job to do. You've got somebody to find. Somebody's hurt, somebody's wounded, somebody's starving, somebody's going to perish from the sun, and you've got to find them as quick as possible. So as we go through life, like my deliverance ministry, essentially that's what I'm doing. I'm looking for lost people. I'm trying to assist those who are hurt, wounded, sick, you know, beat up by the elements, and also, you know, horribly attacked by the darkness against the spiritual forces of wickedness. Now, notice, by the way, in Ephesians 6:12, it talks about heavenly places. Now, the church would just always tell you that heaven is a wonderful, you know, place and everything else. We need to understand that there's several levels of heaven. So when it's talking about heaven, it's talking about the second heaven. It's talking about the spirit realm. It's talking about the fourth dimension. It's talking about where Satan falls into. Now, he's not been thrown out yet. He hasn't been dethroned. He's been removed as a archangel. But now he is Lucifer turned into Satan, and so here we are battling him and his cronies because he took approximately 1/3 of the angels with him. And I want to remind everyone that when we talk about angels, and Julie and I have talked about this before, or at least those things of the spirit, that an angel can be quite a different thing than what we're thinking. Now, there are those that I think do resemble humans, some that are very big, but I also think some are very weird and bizarre looking, because there's things that look, that are creatures around the throne of God, those things in heaven, all kinds of eyes and all kinds of wings. And so there's a lot of weird things. Now, when they're fallen, the nature of what they are, then, since they were once heavenly, they were once divine, now they're evil, I think that they're very dangerous. I think that they're very powerful. Some of them as powers, some of them as rulers, meaning that they are given great abilities. And these great abilities, I believe, are kept in check by the remaining angels that God has, and of course the Holy Spirit. And in the meantime, we're dealing with what's called demons. Now, demons and angels, in my opinion, are two different things. Some may argue differently. Okay. But I've cast out quite a few demons, and I've dealt with quite a few fallen angels. So there's a difference. I'm sorry. And so in that, we're dealing with creatures, with entities, with things that want to destroy and kill. Now, if you take 100 scorpions and you put them into a container, and this was a test that was done, what you're going to find is that scorpions, you know, even though they are a species, and by the way, there's over 2,000 species, and there's about 35 of them that are venomous, neurotoxin-like, that can actually kill people, and Arizona, unfortunately, has some of them. But when you take scorpions and you put them into a container, 100 of them, just like they did in this experiment, they immediately start attacking each other. They immediately start killing each other. Now, that's pretty bizarre, right? It's not, you take 100 cows and you put them in, you know, a field, they don't start attacking each other. You can even take some snakes and put them together, and they don't necessarily attack each other. Now, there are some that will, but across the board, it's not the way it is. But with scorpions, it is that way. Now, here's another bit of information that's very bizarre about scorpions, and I'm relating this because when, you know, the Bible's full of places and kings all the way through, you know, even in Revelation, Revelation 9:5, because it keeps referring to scorpions. So they're a very dangerous, very poisonous, and they're stealth. They're quiet. They're small. They can fit through areas. By the way, I don't know whether you know that or not. They can squeeze through the smallest things, like a spider can. So they're a problem. They're a problem in Arizona. So when it comes to scorpions, what's very, very bizarre about them, not only will they kill each other, but if you put them in an environment, let's say of vinegar or of alcohol or something that can actually cause them to perish, they'll commit suicide. They'll actually sting themselves. Pretty bizarre, huh? And they also glow in the dark. That's one of the ways that we used to find them. We used to go out in the desert with little fluorescent lights. Now you can buy the fluorescent LEDs. You can even buy them in like Circle K's and 7-Elevens and some of the convenience stores. They sell them right on the counter. And so there's certain times of the year that, especially when it gets cold, they want to come in, and unfortunately you've got scorpions in the house. Now, they like to get in shoes. So a lot of people will put their shoes on or put slippers on and they get stung. That's not fun. Now, amazingly, I've gone all this time without being stung, and I'm glad because I don't want to get stung. But at the same time, I think they're very creepy, and the very thought of that thing injecting into me its horrible, you know, venom does not please me whatsoever. Now, it's funny because as a child, I used to play in the irrigation ditches, you know, a lot of farmland in the Phoenix, Tempe. Tempe's the, you know, where I grew up, went to school there in high school and everything else. And when we moved there in 1958, there was a lot of farmland. And the farms were irrigated through the Salt River Project. And that meant that you had soil, you had water, you had insects, you had, you know, dirt that was, you know, very easy to work with. There were scorpions everywhere. And we used to go collect them. And as a child, I used to get a can, you know, like a coffee can, and you'd find a nest of them. And when you find a nest of them, there's a bunch of them. There are thousands of them. And I used to reach back and grab them by the tail in the back, not in the front, because in the front, you know, they're the way their tails come over the top, their stinger suspends over their skull. And then they've got the two pinchers in front. So if you grab them from the back and you're very quick about it, you can pick them up and throw them in the can. Now, I did that as a kid, didn't know any better. You know, I was just kind of the boy ain't right thing when I was a child. I was the dentist mess. I was just whatever as a child, a typical 50s, 60s, 70s kid. So I didn't have any fear. And we used to try and sell them to the Arizona State University. There was rumor they'd give a nickel apiece, but that never seemed to materialize. So, you know, what do you do with a bunch of scorpions? But I wouldn't do that now. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want anything to do with snakes. We used to collect snakes. In fact, we had a red racer that we brought in the house one time in a wooden box, and it got away from us, and we never did find it and never had the courage to tell our mother. I have no idea what happened to that snake. And if she ever found it, she'd have had a heart attack, and she would have immediately called my name and my brother's name, but it never happened, so I don't know where it went. But today, what I want to bring out again is the similarity to the creature scorpion and demons and those things that we're dealing with today, because we've been talking about immigration, we've been talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and those things that are taking place. You notice that scorpions, as I mentioned before, will attack each other. They'll kill each other. Oh, and by the way, that 100, there, after a couple of days, there was only like 14 left. So there was probably, you know, all these dead scorpions laying everywhere, and each scorpion then could have its own little corner, right? And I'm sure they're tired, you know. I mean, anything that has to fight gets tired. So they just apparently came to a point where there wasn't any more battles. But, you know, you had the larger majority of them perish because they killed each other. So what we find with those people who are demon-possessed, those people who were demonized to the point of no return, we have those who are suicide bombers. We have those people who are willing to even kill their own just because they have an infraction on a particular ruling of their law, their Sharia laws, okay? Now, as Christians, we should be at the opposite end. We should be loving. We should be kind. We should, you know, want to be willing to assist those that are in error, okay, those who are in sin. Because when you look at Sharia law and, someone does something wrong, it's a sin to them, but it's punishable by death. Now, in Christianity, because of what Jesus did, you have the chance to repent. You have the chance to come out of your sins, where before Jesus, there was death. The Old Testament was absolutely loaded with those people who didn't make it because they didn't repent or didn't know or whatever the situation was, or they went to a point that their conscience were seared. They were turned over to the enemy. We see in Corinthians that was the case when a man had his father's wife, that they were so appalled to it that they turned him over to the devil for a time in hopes that his soul would be saved. Well, that's big stuff. But you notice that in hopes that his soul will be saved, they didn't just kill him. He did something that, by the way, in tradition, you know, of that time, and of course, well, today, I don't know about today. Everything's so weird when it comes to sexuality. That was so unacceptable, and Julie's got some information. She wants to talk about Genesis and about that particular situation, but I'll let her do that maybe tomorrow. But the point of it is that we're redeemable. We're capable of coming out. We can act like scorpions. We can do things that are terrible. We can sin. But if we're willing to repent, if we're willing to become a new creature in Christ, then we're redeemable. We can be brought out. Okay, so that's the difference between Satan's doctrine and God's doctrine of Jesus Christ. Huge. Left, right, gray, black, white, you know, these things, completely different. So when we move forward in all power and all authority to trample on scorpions and serpents, what we're doing is we're battling those things that are evil. Now, if we're supposedly Christians in this nation, and we have scorpions coming into the country, then we should be doing something about that. Because these people who are coming in are demon-possessed. These people who are coming in have sold their souls. These people who are coming in now, miraculously, there are people who do come out of it. But if you think it's across the board, if you run the numbers, it's very low. Now, that may change, and I hope it changes, because I too wish that none should perish. I don't want anyone to face hell. But at the same time, as we see in Galatians 5, for those who practice such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's our job to point out their sins so they can see the predicament they've placed themselves in, and then the Holy Spirit can convict them and bring them out, bring them to an understanding that they're in error. Okay? That's what we're supposed to do. But, oh no, we're supposed to just love. Really? Look at Europe, for goodness sakes. You know, they're completely, the amount of sin, the amount of rape, the amount of murder, the amount of assaults that have taken place over there are so horrific that the demons, the scorpions, the serpents are partying. They are having the time of their life using humans to act out their ugly nature to inflict evil on two people. And if you're a Christian and they know it, and by the way, the demons know you, if you've got the Holy Spirit, they know it. And if you're not equipped, if you potentially may be in sin, by the way, you're not in a very good position. God's people, you know, Hosea, perish from lack of knowledge. That's okay, that comes from God. You take that up with God, right? See, this is what I don't understand with the so-called pastors that shouldn't even be there in the first place, because that's not the order of things. That when we talk about serpents, when we talk about scorpions, oh, by the way, serpent, let me just cover that real quick. Okay, they'll lead you to believe that it is a reptile in itself like a snake. Now, okay. Let's look at another definition of serpent. A sly or treacherous person, especially one who exploits a position of trust in order to betray. Really? Wow. Now that sounds like the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? But how come your pastor doesn't look at it like that? So whatever Satan informed that he came, it doesn't mean that he was just a, quote, snake. Now, the references about, you know, striking at the heel with Christ and that he'll be able to smash the head and all this, that is. But to say that we're dealing with just a snake is absolutely an error and puts us in a position of thought to only look at it in a particular way. See, that's the problem. This is social engineering. This is MKUltra. This is Monarch. This is psychobabble. This is stinking thinking. All right. We need to understand our enemy. We need to understand that most of them are not redeemable. Now you've heard probably the story about the frog and the scorpion, and the frog, you know, the ends up talking to the scorpion, and the scorpion convinces the frog to carry the scorpion across the little stream to the other side, and the frog mentions to the scorpion, but you'll sting me, and the scorpion said, no, I won't, right? So the scorpion hops on, and the frog goes across, and just as they get to the other side, and the scorpion's getting off, he stings the frog. And the frog says, you know, why did you sting me? You said you wouldn't do it. But the scorpion says, you know, but I'm a scorpion. That's what I do. Okay, so when we're talking about something that's willing to kill their own kind and even willing to kill themselves, isn't that bizarre? I've seen the video of it. It's for real. If they're put into a situation that's certain death or that there's a no way out, they kill themselves. So in the spirit, and in their Sharia law, in that demonization, that possession, them thinking that, you know, by killing, by becoming a bomber, by doing suicide, and taking out supposedly, you know, the ones that they think are swine, that they'll enter into a new realm. You know, they'll get the virgins, they'll get the whole nine yards, and their family, by the way, I think up to 70, 72, something like that, of their family members get to go in too. I just saw a video yesterday where some guy had you know, built some vehicle that was explosive and put his, 11-year-old son into it, and they videotaped the whole thing. Some of you may have seen that on Facebook. Wow. You know, how does that happen? How does that mentality come into an individual that would actually sacrifice their son? Now, when we see in the Old Testament, we're warned not to pass the children through the fire. And essentially, that's what they're doing. Now, that child, unfortunately, because of the curse of the fathers, and who knows whatever else was going on, and was of age that he went ahead and went with it, there's a very good chance that child didn't go into heaven. And the father put him there. And because of what the father did, now he could repent, because Jesus either paid for all sins or he didn't, past, present, and future. But the likelihood of that man repenting is not very, very strong. And so these people that are coming over to this country have this incredible demonic mindset that they're willing to kill everything in its path like scorpions. So I'm telling you right now that we are in a situation that the head scorpion, Obama himself, which is half reptilian, so he's a serpent, he's actually both, is very, very dangerous. And I see that he's actually doing more executive orders. That's what he does, you know. He gets up and he takes the Constitution and he uses it for toilet paper, and then he goes and writes another law as a dictator. And now he's talking about those immigrants, those who are coming in that may have diseases, whether they're sexual diseases or any of the other terrible things that are contagious that will spread very quickly. That he's lifting the bans and allowing them in. Excuse me? How is this even happening? And why is there not an outcry from the corporate church? Why is our Congress staying silent? Why are these things that are supposed to be checks and balances not being done? Well, that's because evil, the scorpions, have taken over. They're already in Congress, they're already in the Senate, they're already in the House, they're already in the executive branch. And unfortunately, those things trickle down. So we have them into state, federal, county factions of government. And along with it, whenever you have this, you have the demons who have taken control. And now the areas are tainted. I was thinking about this the other day. I do talk a lot about abortion, and I know that some who were involved with it really, really feel bad about it, and you have repented, and your heart is broken. But I have to keep talking about it. I have to keep mentioning it because it's one of the classifications that we've put ourselves into as wicked. See, we're a wicked nation. We're being punished. I don't like it. I don't like talking about it, but it's a fact. Now, you need to remember that supposedly, you know, the presidents, they're elected. Okay? They're not appointed by God. They're not a king who's put in. Okay? So it's our fault. Now, because we've done such things, the guards, the checks and balances that the angels of God do, okay, those things that battle in the spirit realm for us, the church who should have been battling against the principalities, the rulers, the darkness, and so forth, since they haven't done that, these guys have had a free reign. They've established their own system to systematically eliminate every man, woman, and child in the United States. That's where we're at. And again, the corporate church stays silent. When Julie comes on tomorrow night, we were talking about a lot of stuff today, and there's a lot more information, you know, the black goo and all that stuff we were talking about. We're going to continue on. And so to understand that since churches do not do deliverance, okay, just as I mentioned, you know, that since we've been given all power, you know, and we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, if this is scripture, if God's telling us exactly what our enemy is and what we're supposed to be doing, then by not doing it, we're disobedient. By not doing it, we're rebellious. Now, I've mentioned about Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And we need to remember that the Great Commission in Matthew 28 is on the return of Jesus. After he descended and rose again, and he came back to the apostles. Okay? Remember doubting Thomas? He wanted to see the holes, you know, his hands and all that. And so Jesus tells and reminds the apostles to continue those things that they were taught. And again, as I've said before, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So therefore, the church doesn't love Jesus. They are lukewarm, and they are going to be spit out. And the whole basis of my ministry and what I'm doing is to make sure you're not spit out of Christ's mouth. That's all I'm doing. And to hear Jesus say, "Away from me, I did not know you," oh, I can't even imagine. Because all that time you thought, and by the way, what is the definition, the second definition of the serpent? A sly or treacherous person, especially one who exploits a position of trust in order to betray. Can you say, Pastor? Can you say those people in charge, supposedly, of the Christian church? Oh, that's a big accusation, Scott. Yes, it is. But you shall know them by their fruits. I rest my case. Because of the demonization, the possession, the evil wickedness that is upon our nation has only begun, and it's already out of control. See, it's going to go to a point of insanity never seen before. Now, since that there was nothing new under the sun, how do we address this? Well, it will be days as it was in the days of Lot, the days of Noah. But we also do see that there's going to be things that will take place that have not taken before. And if Christ does not return, there would be no flesh left alive. Well, what did I talk about scorpions? Remember we talked about the vision that I had in 2005 where insanity took over everybody, which included the combatant actions of the individuals against each other? And this is what I want to tell you. This is what I think. This is my own personal opinion. Now, when we look at the Book of Enoch, and those who do not believe the Book of Enoch is real, then I'm sorry. You can go ahead and turn it off and go away. Because it was in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Book of Jude gives us permission to read it. There's information there that parallels. Scripture does not contradict it. And it simply gives us those things that took place before the flood with Enoch and the fallen angels, which tells us what demons are, what happened, how that whole thing came to be. So when the angels came to Enoch, they wanted Enoch to petition God to say, "Hey, we screwed up. We're sorry. Would you forgive us?" Well, it doesn't work that way. See, we've been set apart, and that's why Christ came. He was able to redeem us through his sacrifice and paying for our sins, but the fallen angels didn't have that. And they did one major sin, and that was the strange flesh. They came into the daughters of men. That was unredeemable. That's blasphemy. And so God told Enoch to go back and tell him, "Sorry, Charlie, it ain't happening. You screwed up. You once saw the wonders of my kingdom. You saw the angelic beauty, and you still fell. You were given free choice, and you made a choice to do these horrible, evil, wicked deeds. And now you have infected, you have altered my children, people, humans, okay? And so what happened was that now, with all the giants that came in, because the women who were impregnated by the fallen angels, when they gave birth to mighty men. They gave birth to these things that were very large, hybrids, Nephilim, however you want to say it. And these things then went into other animals, okay, and corrupted birds and fish and all kinds of things. So they had, you know, the whole world was absolutely in a very bizarre state. And they had a voracious appetite. And they were eating everything in sight and killing everything in sight because, one, since they were not holy, just like the scorpions, they were stinging and killing and eating everything they could get their hands on, you know, even in each other to a point. Now, when the people cried out to God, God heard their cries, and he cursed the Nephilim, these hybrids, that they would turn on each other. Wow. So they did. They in most part, in the largest percentage, killed each other off. Now, it also shows that the fallen angels were absolutely heartbroken over such a thing. Because to them, this was their children. This was their creation. Now, they don't create, they corrupt. And since they're already twisted, right, you can't make sense of something that doesn't make sense. And they were very upset. And so I'm leading to something here. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. And that is that all of these things that died became disembodied because they didn't have the Spirit of God. God is the Father of spirits who creates those things that places into a fetus when the consummation's taken place. And the cells start splitting, there's a spirit put into that baby, okay? That's you, me, that's our children, blah, 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 on down the road. But unfortunately, with these things, that's not the case. And when they died, whatever spirit this thing was became disembodied and was damned to roam the earth as an evil spirit. That's where demons come from. So that's why there's a difference between fallen angels and demons. Okay. Now, since the angels were so upset that this took place, I'm telling you right now that what I believe is going to take place is that this is payback time. That these creatures, these monsters, these hideous things, including the fallen angels, that what they're doing is they're preparing society to turn upon themselves. Now, we also see in Revelation that the vials, the seals are broken and the angels pour out the vials, that peace is taken from the earth. And whether this has a relation to that, I'm not sure, but I know that the Word of God is true, and therefore insanity takes over. And if that's what I saw as a vision in 2005, then that's it. I don't know. All I know is that there's a point where the love of God, which I experienced, that was removed. I believe that I did experience outer darkness the night that I tried to do an outer body experience and opened up a porthole, opened up some kind of spirit realm, that the love of God was absolutely removed. And even though at the time I was not a Christian, the contrast between God being there and not was horrendous. The demons were bad enough that were coming for me, but that was nothing compared to the outer darkness. And the grace of God pulled me out of that. I've told that story before. But the point of it is that what I saw when that took place was absolute chaos. And that the demons had complete right to do what they do, to act out their ugly nature, to be murderers, to be those things of hatred, those things of sickness, those things of insanity. Boy, I tell you, if you deal with somebody who has a spirit of insanity, Witchcraft is always in the midst of that because it has to do with mind control. That when a person's mind is taken over and they're tormented, the battle's in the mind. We're reminded of that by Paul. And so if you have these spirits in you, the first one to be put in place is fear. So those things, when we see that men's hearts will fail them for fear, then we can see that not only, and listen to me, not only is there going to be death, but there's going to be suicide. Do you remember when I said the scorpions sting themselves when there's a point that they can't? Now, we also see in Revelation that men will seek death. You know, the scorpions will be stinging them for 5 months, you know, or the things that look like scorpions. And they'll seek death and not find it. And then we talked last night about black goo and that those who have the DNA change live to be very, very old. And so the mark of the beast and the relation to that, it seems to come together. All right, we're just simply leaving and putting those facts out there for you to research and discover yourself, because all we're trying to do is figure out what in the world's going on. Okay, God's word says what it does, but there's things that are taking place that we, you know, just don't understand, because one, we're left in the dark because the New World Order, the globalists, the Zionists have intended that. That's why the churches do not teach you. They're under that rule. They're under the thumb of the Zionist. This whole thing through dispensation was all put in place at the turn of the century and even before that. And as Julie pointed out with the seminaries and where they came from, that deliverance and that we have, you know, this incredible power and that we could heal and we could cast out demons has been completely eliminated. And so it's kind of like we're all standing around with a gun and the enemy's coming, but there's no bullets in our gun. And we're all looking at our weapons. We're even looking down the barrel and pulling the trigger because we don't know how to operate it. Have you ever seen that handgun where the barrel's pointed backwards? That's kind of what's going on here. We have these amazing, incredible weapons. And we have this incredible teacher. We have, you know, when you go through boot camp, you know, I knew a guy that his job was teaching artillery. You know, the big guns, he would teach, you know, how to do that. And I've met people that were weapons specialists to teach us, you know, to be a sniper and so forth. Now, these are people you don't want to mess with, right? I liked what the Marines do. You know, if you say, what is it, when they're marching, they're singing, if you kill our dog, we'll blow up your house. Well, you don't mess with people that have that kind of firepower. But since we don't know that we have 50 caliber, 100, whatever, you know, is out there, and we have a limitless supply of ammunition, we don't even know how to put the bullet. We don't even know which way the bullet goes in the barrel. Why? Because the corporate church, which was under the Zionist control, never taught you. So here we are with this immigration, with the demonization, the demon possession of individuals that are coming for your children, ladies, okay? They're coming for your children. They're going to, you know, I'm sorry. All you have to do is look at Switzerland. All you have to do is look at France. Just look at Germany. And that's what the scorpion, the serpent in the White House has in store. See, he wants your daughter, your son too, by the way, to fall to these creatures. Their stingers over their heads are going to come after us. Okay? Now, let's say that they're able to wipe us all out. What do scorpions do, remember? They'll kill each other. It never stops. Why do they do that? Because they're demon-possessed. See, when you have somebody who's full of sexual demons, they're never satisfied. They can have sex all night long, and it's as if they didn't at all. Because it's the demons. That's what a demon does. They act out their ugly nature through the human body because they are disembodied spirits, and it's the only way they can do it. Do you get it? And so when I do deliverance, I'll go after specific curses, specific entry points, legal rights, cancel them, break them, close the doors, and then even have the person renounce. And sometimes I'll have the person themselves take authority over their own body because the demons can be in their private parts. And if, you know, that's not, luckily it's not across the board for everybody, but those who do have that, a lot of people suffer because it isn't pleasurable. It's actually very painful. And it's very annoying to think that there's something down there that is doing that. You know, as creepy as scorpions are, you know, I have to laugh. You know what a centipede is, right? Years and years ago, and some of you who are ever in Phoenix, South Mountain Park is one of the largest, is the largest park in the United States. And I drove up to the top of it in a sports car, and me and a friend got out. And it was nighttime, and we're looking over the city. It's this incredible view. I think Phoenix is 1,100 feet, and I think this is 3,000 feet up. And so it's got quite a view of the city. And we weren't standing there very long, and all of a sudden he got a really funny look on his face. And he froze. And there was just enough moonlight that I could see that something was crawling up his pants. Got to his knees, worked his way to his crotch. He shoved his hand down there, and he pulled it out, and here it was a centipede wrapped around his finger. Now, I don't know if it was a millipede, centipede. One of them's poisonous, one of them's not. That's a close call. That's something I wouldn't want to happen. But the fear in his face was exactly the thing that I see when people are infested with demons and they're out of control. When you're out of control and something has taken you over, that is a very, very bad situation, because you'll read in papers where there's a murder-suicide, and you wonder what in the world, maybe even knew the people. You didn't know things were that bad. Well, I'll guarantee you that the devil's in the details. Somewhere along the line, demons came in, set up camp, took control of the mind, and there was enough sin that the nature of murder, the nature of suicide, entered in. And so there was a murder-suicide. It's that simple. So when we see the scorpions that are coming by the thousands, I understand that 10,000 have already come into Los Angeles, flown in. I think it was Los Angeles, I don't know, maybe Louisiana. But either way, I think it's probably L.A. because the immigration intake would make more sense. 10,000 in one shot. Tell me there aren't terrorists in there. Tell me that there aren't people who are demon-possessed. Tell me there aren't people who are sick. This is a very bad situation. See, these are scorpions. I told you about the vision that I saw a month or so ago, where these things came up out of the water, you know, dressed like Muslims. They were wearing the attire, and they had gunny sacks. And in those gunny sacks were snakes. And they laid the snakes down, and the bags down, and they opened them up, and these snakes went out. And what was interesting is that the snakes didn't, they weren't your typical 1 or 2 feet long snakes. They just kept coming out of the bags and going to their destination as if they were controlled from a central point. All right, now I've mentioned before that in the spirit realm you can have what's called handlers. So I believe that these entities, these things that came out of the water, you know, look like human Muslims, that they're handlers. They're the keepers of the curse. They're the ones that were releasing the demons, the particular serpents. Whenever you have a serpent, it's usually a destroyer. Now, another, if you have a vision, let's say, of a bear is a destroyer too, by the way, and it's one of the reasons Russia has that as an emblem. Okay? Now, what does this mean for us? Well, it means you better get right with God. It means you better repent. It means you better forgive your ex-spouse. I think I mentioned about the time that I was working with an elderly lady, came in with a cane, and I started praying for her, and immediately the Holy Spirit said, this woman has not forgiven someone who has died. And I stopped praying, and I mentioned that. She started swinging that cane. She says, that SOB, it was her husband. He died without ever saying he was sorry to me for what he did to me. And you know what? I get it. You know, whatever he did, I don't remember, but it was very painful that all these years later that she's still hurt. And because she never got it, you know, I'm sorry. See, this is where God comes in. This is what Jesus is all about. This, his blood and what he did is to erase all of this. So we do not have to go to the Bema seat in front of God. Okay, God judges the world. We as Christians go before Christ and have our works judged. Okay? But if you go before God, you're going immediately for judgment. And it's very plain that if you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. So I'm telling you that that's one of the biggest things. And that also includes forgiving yourself. Some of you are mad and are mad at God. God didn't do it. He didn't do it. His laws were written from day one. And he's a God of order and truth. And so therefore those things that happen were not of truth, were not of order, and therefore came from Satan. Okay? So we're to submit ourselves, we're to be obedient, and to have the love of Christ. And I'll tell you what, when things get really bad, we're going to need each other. Just as the apostles went out in two, that's going to be the case. Now, if you're in a situation that is overwhelming, this is where praying in tongues really is a benefit. So if you don't have your heavenly language, pray that you do, that it gets released. Because I've been in situations that were unnerving, that were very bad. No matter what I do, I'm tested too. And I have found that praying in tongues really, really makes a difference. And I'll tell you what, demons hate it. They hate it because you're talking to God. You've got this internet encryption connection to God that nobody else can crack. It's between you and him, your vertical relationship, and it's only there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So since Jesus paid for your sins, then we are to forgive. And I know it's a process, but believe me, we're running out of time. And I don't want you to get caught outside the marriage supper. I don't want your lamps not to have oil. Bad place to be. Okay? So just remember that when we're talking about scorpions, when we're talking about serpents, we're really talking about that spirit realm and the people that are infected by them and what they're going to do to us. Because their behavior is every as erratic as how scorpions act to each other when you put them in one container. 100 of them, 14 left after a couple days. Pretty bizarre. All right, only going an hour. I hope everyone got something out of this. God bless you guys. Julie and I will be back tomorrow night, and we're going to continue on with a lot more information. She's cracking the code, and I think she's got it, and so we're going to do it. All right, God bless everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.